Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to this week of Benny DeBona Podcast. We are back here together.
Yeah.
We took a week off. I was here 1 week. Boom was here another week. Boom and Spence actually did the show together.
Yeah.
But I'm back, man. I had surgery last week. You see me in this sling. Yeah. As I was talking a few weeks ago about my skiing incident, which I had no business on skis anyways. But my pec, my rotator cuff and labrum are all intact now, finally. Got some staples going along the side of my chest. But we're here, man. What's going on?
We are here. But it's crazy because the doctor – initially told you that it was just a couple of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they got in there. He was like, whoa. Yeah, you got a little bit more going on in there.
Man, which is crazy as hell, man, because it was my pec, my labrum, my rotator cuff, and I broke my scapula. And it's not really much they can do for a broken scapula. You got to kind of just let that thing heal on its own.
So people, what I'm trying to say is, as a past athlete, we have a lot going on in our bodies that we don't even know that's going on. So, but we're glad you're back, Beans.
I'm glad to be here, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here as well, man.
Man, this is a interesting week. You got a lot going on in the college football world. You got a lot going on in the NFL and the NBA. And you got a lot going on in our personal lives. And none bigger than leaving this week, going on the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can't wait, man. That's one of the best times of the year for me. You got February roll around. You get a chance to set sail with a bunch of Buckeye fans in support of one of the greatest causes I believe that this university, you know, spends a lot of time and donations and attributes a lot of great causes too, and that's the cure for cancer.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, that's that time of the year, man. We leave on Sunday. We get a chance to go set sail in the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. Last year was my first year going.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great time. I'm very excited that I was able to make it this year.
Thank you, Lisa. Well. Thank you, Chris, as always.
Yeah. Hey, absolutely. They do a great job. I mean, to have that many people, especially Buckeye fans, on a big cruise ship is a great thing. And it's a lot of fun, man. And it's a great cause.
If you guys want to know more about it, they just talked about it on Letterman Live 2 at Roosters with Nicole from Roosters. So they did a big segment on everything about the Buckeye Cruise, what happens. You know, you don't have to be rich to be on the cruise. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend millions at auctions and stuff like that. So, you know, if you know anybody who's listening to the podcast, thinking about the cruise, you guys can obviously talk about it. But Nicole from Roosters also talked about it for like 10 minutes right in the middle of Letterman Live.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that you can go to and ask is it sold out because I don't know. But I know it's always jam-packed. We leave on Sunday, so it's probably sold at this point. But nonetheless, moving forward, join that thing, man, because it's a hell of a time.
All we know, it's a great experience.
It is.
And if you love Buckeye sports, not just football.
Right.
You got basketball. You got all the sports, you know.
Yes, indeed.
And a lot of great people on there, man. If you love that and you want to be around those people, you'll have a great time.
A big shout-out to Roosters, man.
Yeah.
Big shout-out to Roosters. Roosters has been a huge sponsor along with the Buckeye Cruise for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
and they always do it upright, man. So
Big
shout-out to Roosters as well. But, yeah, man, diving in, man, we got this story, you know, that just broke last night with two Ohio State football players allegedly raped somebody and they were charged. And
very disturbing.
Man, it is, man. I want to say it's Amir Reap and what's the other kid's name? Jason Witt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's awful. And, you know, anytime you hear about, you know, somebody having those type of allegations, I mean, your eyes and your ears and everything perks up. Like, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And this situation, it's scary.
Yeah.
One, obviously, we don't have all the details about what transpired, but, you know, with the story out there, we got to hit on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And this one hits so close to home because it's right down the street here.
Yeah.
You know, I hope, you know, things get resolved and, you know, whether they did it, then obviously they're punished. If they didn't do it, then what have you. But, man, that's so freaking scary. Yeah. But I think the university and Ryan Day are doing the right things right now. We're coming out and saying, you know what, these guys are going to be suspended first and foremost. And then obviously, if they're charged and everything, they're going to be kicked off the team. I think that's inevitable.
Not just the team, though. I think it's a university rule.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I'm saying they're going to be kicked off. But, I mean, hell, they're going to have a lot harsher penalties awaiting them, you know, more so than being just kicked off a football team if that does come about. But scary situation. Obviously, like I said, we don't have all the details, but we wanted to bring it up because we know everybody's out there, reading that story, clicking on Letterman Road, clicking on all the outlets to have it. But, man, I just hate hearing stories like that because, you know, when you heard the whole deal that went down with Baylor and how that affected that program for a number of years, you definitely don't want anything like that associated with a university that has such prestige as Ohio State. And with the fact that, you know, with this football team, we just had a great season. Yeah. Ryan Day's coming off of a phenomenal year in his first season and then have to deal with this on the back end. I mean, it's not going to be, peachy cream.
Yeah. Another thing that really kind of sucks about this whole thing is these are two guys who actually graduated already.
Right.
And they had the opportunity to come back and be a part of a great football team and a great coaching staff. And for them to
– Reed was a kid who played at times.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy that came in for Wade when he went down – well, when he got kicked out of the game. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, you just hate for these type of situations to happen to anybody, but, you know, especially Ohio State players. It's like, you know, you guys are obviously on this pedestal – at this university where our standards are very high.
Right.
We don't do things like this. We don't handle our business like this. And we don't know all the details, so I don't want to dig into it and try to bash these guys. But, you know, you just have to be smart. You have to make better decisions.
That's the number one thing. You got to be smart. You got to make better decisions all the way around.
And with it being two guys, you know, you would think that one of them would be, you know, common sense to click and say, hey.
Right. And again, like you said, we don't know all the details, so we don't know what happened. But nonetheless, not putting yourself in these type of situations.
Right.
I know kids are in college and you want to do, you know, silly things. But you got to be mindful, of the situations that you're putting yourself in because it can affect you down the line. And just let this situation be a lesson. Like I said, I'm going to keep saying we don't have all the details because we truly don't know what transpired until everything has came out. But let this be a lesson to younger guys out there. You better be careful. I always say it, I learned the best from watching other people's mistakes.
Oh, man.
You don't have to go through it. You don't got to bump your own head. We've seen this story many a times before, and we've seen it go both ways, but nonetheless, it's a situation you got to be mindful of, and you got to watch where you're putting yourself, what type of position you're putting yourself in, because you know, it could affect your future drastically. But moving along from that situation,
please,
man, let's get away from it real quick, but we had to hit on it.
Yeah.
Man, a situation transpired this week that I did not anticipate whatsoever. That was Luke Fickell. That was Mark D'Antonio stepping down from the job at Michigan State.
Well, that was when I first seen it, it came very by surprise, especially at this time of the year. This is a very important time of the year.
Exactly.
Big time of recruiting, big time of, you know, getting ready for, you know, spring ball, the season, you know. So it's like,
February?
Like, you really just going to check out? So, it make you start thinking, like you said, I mean.
Was this before signing day or just after signing day? The night before signing day. Oh, my gosh. The night before signing day, this transpires.
Yeah, so then you got – and if you look at their recruiting class, it wasn't right. Good at all. So, the whole situation was kind of – it was kind of sketchy. Kind of sketchy looking and – is make you wonder, like, you know, do they have something coming
on? Well, they do. They absolutely do. But they're, you know, been under fire. You know, the football program has, you know, been under fire. You got a former coach suing the program.
Yeah.
And then you had a kid on the football team, and people were saying that Mark D'Antonio ignored the signs this kid had. I think it was kind of with like an assault or sexual assault or something of that nature. So this program is definitely going to be under fire. So you could see good reason for him to say, you know what, let me walk away right now at this point. But I think the more important thing was that if you look, I saw a report that said in every January he had this clause in his contract where he was able to get a couple million dollars, dollar bonus every January.
He got that.
So it made sense for him to wait a month later
after he got his money.
his bonus that he had in his contract to decide to step down. But what's it do for the program? I mean, that's going to be a great question, because for a number of years, Mark D'Antonio had Michigan State back in the thick of things. They went to the college football playoff. They were in talks in terms of, winning the Big Ten championship and, being a competitive team that at times had Ohio State's number.
He
was damn good in his 13 years there at Michigan State. One of the best coaches, in my opinion, to ever come through that university. Obviously, you got Nick Saban.
He's the most
winningest coach
at Michigan State, I believe.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. And you look at, where they were, then you look at the tail off the past 3 years.
Yeah.
You got to see, people are only going to be patient for so long, especially right now in the era in which we're in, where, we want success and we want it now. We don't want to have to wait. We want top-tier recruits.
Yeah.
Michigan State is a place that can get success and get top-tier recruits because he's shown it.
Because they've done it before. And like you said, they've kind of went through some hard times with recruiting, losing some games that they probably should have won.
Mm-hmm.
Been at the bottom of the Big Ten. Well, not the bottom, but, they made a bowl game, but it wasn't like a –
Right, the past 3 years just hasn't been great for them.
Yeah, so it's like – and then you had some people wondering, like, okay, does this guy get fired now? So it's like maybe it was something where he knew it was coming and he wanted to do it before he got fired. I mean, we don't know all the details. Go ahead.
One of the things I think you got to look at, too, is you just said he's the winningest coach of all time at Michigan State. So with that being said, I don't necessarily know that you want to fire that guy, mm-hmm. right? You want to allow him
to
kind of –
Michigan State, though. They do some strange things, am I saying.
Yeah, I mean, I agree at times, but I think we've watched Michigan State make a transition with their football program. Mm-hmm. When I first got to Ohio State, Michigan State had John L. Smith as their coach. I remember John L. Smith being in an interview smacking himself. Yeah. That's how weird John L. Smith was. Yeah. So to watch the transition from him to Mark D'Antonio, watch the success that they've had on not just the football aspect, but just athletics in general, coupled with, basketball and, having the ability to make the runs that they've made on the opposite side. But just looking at them as a sports university,
right.
They were successful in their two main sports. And with that being said, I don't know if you want to put that asterisk and say we had to fire our football coach.
Yeah.
You probably bring him in and say, hey, we're leaning towards firing you,
right.
But we're going to give you the opportunity to walk out on your own accord so you could still be held in high regard here at the university for when you do come back, or if you do decide to stick around and help usher in a new regime and a new coach. Right. I don't think you want that black eye saying, oh, he was fired. And it just leaves a distasteful feeling in your mouth when you have that.
Yeah. Well, I mean – we look and see what a couple guys that they were going after, and one of the major guys that they wanted to get was a guy that we're very familiar with, was Coach Fickell. Mm-hmm. He had the opportunity to go down there and get interviewed, and honestly, I honestly thought that Fick was going to take the job, but then when I heard, which is I didn't hear till a couple of days ago, that he declined the offer, mm-hmm. To take the job, but when I heard, I'm like, why? I mean, obviously, Michigan State, no knock on Cincinnati, but Michigan State obviously is a bigger school. Obviously, I'm sure he could have got paid more money,
And I think Michigan State's a job you can have longevity at, too.
Yeah, but, when I seen that he declined the offer to take the job, I was like, wow, why would he do that? You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I was kind of hoping that he went to Michigan State, because it's kind of like close to my backyard. It's
right.
Like, and Fick is my guy, and, so it's like, it'd be cool to have,
somebody go around a program.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it?
But as I started looking at it and start understanding, okay, at Cincinnati, Fick has had the best recruiting class that I think Cincinnati has basically almost ever had. I think they got four star recruits this year. That's big time.
But heck yeah, for a school like Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think they got one of the top quarterbacks. I believe it was.
What's his name? You got his name? Evan Brinder? Evan Prater.
Yeah, one of the top quarterbacks. And then you go and look at Michigan State's recruiting class. I don't think they even have a four-star on there.
Right.
On their recruiting class, which is crazy. So it's like, do I leave to walk into a situation where, you know, they might have some allegations that's coming along, mm-hmm. and they don't have a good recruiting class. You know, the season that they had last year wasn't the greatest season.
Right.
Do I walk away from something that's rising and going in the right direction to walk into something that's terrible? I mean, yeah, all you know how they say all money ain't good money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to be making money, but are you about to put yourself in a situation where, okay, I'm going to make some good money for a couple of years, everything's not going to go right, and I'm going to be the next guy getting fired? Because –
yeah, that's what you don't want. I mean, you want to go in a situation where you're going to be comfortable and you feel like you got an opportunity to grow. And I think it probably had more so to do with the fact that you don't know what's coming from Michigan State.
Right.
There may be some sanctions that come down with this program.
And he's went through that before. So
right.
He knows how that can carry it, you know.
Exactly. So, I mean, you lose scholarships, you lose things like that. I mean, I don't think you want to go into – you don't want to be a new head coach going into that situation if that's going to be the case.
Right.
But – I can see that being a scary situation. That would have been a scary situation. And I still think it's going to be a very scary situation for Ohio, the state of Ohio, and its recruiting if Fickell would have went there. Mm-hmm. But Fickell didn't decide to go there. Fickell stayed. He still does a great job recruiting Ohio. But we got a guy, what I'm saying, we, I'm like I'm Michigan State, but this guy has Buckeye ties that did take the head coaching job
mm-hmm.
That I think is a phenomenal coach, and that's Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker was – here at Ohio State when I was being recruited. Actually, one of the first guys to start recruiting me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm at a camp, and he pulls me from the side. Hey, man, you know, what's it going to take for you to be a Buckeye? And this is like, I'm probably 14 years old at the point in time at camp, and you got Mel Tucker.
By the way, Beanie has looked the same since he was 14, 15 years old. Same size and everything. Well, not now, but
right.
You know what I mean.
But you got Tuck, you know, pulling me over, and Tuck is this cool dude, suave.
Yeah.
He is a smooth talker, but just all around cool cat. Yeah. And he recruited, you know, the Northeast Ohio area. He's the one that started the Glenville pipeline. A lot of people don't know about that. Mel mm-hmm. Tucker was the individual who started that Cleveland-Glenville pipeline to Ohio State. People mm-hmm. always talk about the relationship between Jim Tressel and Coach Ginn. It wouldn't have been existed if Mel Tucker wouldn't have been in place here at Ohio State. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy who takes a job, who coaches under D'Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, D'Antonio was a defensive coordinator here, and, you know, him and Tuck and Fickell were both assistant coaches. So he knows the landscape of Ohio very well. And you look at what he was able to do last season in Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado was an atrocious team.
Trash.
Very bad. Last year they had some success. I don't know whether they were 8-4 or what, but I know they started off the season very hot
mm-hmm.
and they looked to be ascending in the right direction. So I'm excited about, you know, the direction Michigan State can go in for the Big Ten and for Mel Tucker. And it makes me think that Mark D'Antonio,
he probably could have put a good word in.
Without question.
Yeah.
This decision makes me think that Mark D'Antonio had something to do with the hire that was
absolutely.
Going on in Michigan State.
Yeah.
You look at who they were. I mean, we didn't hear about any other names, Luke Fickell,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden it was Mel Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Mark D'Antonio's guys.
Absolutely.
Those guys were position coaches under him. So he to me, in my mind, I'm saying he handpicked those individuals, you know, for Michigan State to go and hire. And Michigan State knowing that, okay, Mark D'Antonio hasn't led us astray.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in you know what he had shown us here, and we can trust him. Why not go out and pick some guys that mm-hmm. you know he believes could be very good coaches and has good track records on their own anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. But the more interesting thing too is, like, I don't know if you've seen the tweet. Mel Tucker sent the tweet, was it 2 nights ago, that I appreciate the interest from Michigan State and I'm honored for the interest, but I'm Colorado strong. I'll be here at Colorado moving forward.
For real?
2 days later. You got that tweet verbatim? Can you read that for us? Cut your mic on.
Oh,
so you can read
man, that is hilarious. I don't know. Hey, I didn't see that.
So, hold on. Real quick, too. We got a new producer. Intro yourself on Beanie and the Boom, the podcast. We got Spence back there, but we got somebody new.
Well, thanks. I'm Colin. I'm a junior at Ohio State.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, Colin.
Still looking for this tweet. I wonder if he might have deleted it this morning.
You know what?
He
may have deleted it. I should have screenshot it. I absolutely should have screenshot it because it was crazy to sit there and watch, or not watch, but just look at the tweet and then you hear all the reports
money,
come out.
Money changed things.
Exactly.
You know? Money really changed things.
And from what I'm hearing, I think they
doubled up, right?
I think they were doubling the salary. And then they were also, you know, doubling his coaching pool salary. I think we have the tweet put up.
Yeah, I got it. So he said, while I'm flattered to be considered for the head coach job at MSU, I'm committed to CU Buffs football for the build of our program. It's great athletes, coaches, and supporters. Hashtag unfinished business.
3 days ago.
Yep.
3 days ago. And then you take this job where you're getting some big bucks.
Bigger bucks,
because he was making damn good money already at Colorado.
And they made that decision pretty quick, too.
Yeah.
Like, usually, you know, when somebody get interviewed, they may have to come back for a second interview or something. They made that happen in, like, no time.
Well, you got
to
do it because, like you said, we're getting ready to spring ball.
Yeah, and it's recruiting.
We just finished up, you know, signing day.
Yeah.
You want to get these guys in the house. You want to get them familiar with the coach.
That makes
sense. And you want to, you know, get everybody acclimated to how you are going to be instituted in this new regime. Mm-hmm. And then, hell, like you said, you got to get on the road recruiting. At the end of the day, that's what college football is geared around, and that's recruiting. What are you going to do, and who are you going to bring me back to the promised land or bring me back to some level of success? Yeah. And I personally think they got it right.
Yeah.
I like Mel Tucker.
Yeah.
I think he's great for the Big Ten.
I
think it's going to be a little bit scary for Ohio when you got a guy that can recruit like him coming into the state and giving Big Ten scholarships and tossing them around. He's going to Northeast Ohio. He's going to Southern Ohio. And you say you got a scholarship to a place like Michigan State that you know eyes are going to be on.
Yeah,
you're going to play Ohio State. You're going to play Michigan. You're going to play some big games.
Well, that's the thing.
Which, like, kids want.
Yeah, that's the thing. I always feel some type of way when a coach that coached at Ohio State and goes somewhere and takes a job somewhere and knowing that he got to come back and play us, it's like, they got some inside in.
See, I don't even worry about the play. I just worry about the recruiting aspects. Like, man, because
the whole nine, though.
He knows these coaches.
Yeah.
He's been in these offices before.
That's what
before.
I'm saying. He knows.
He knows all the land
all
and the landscape,
ins and
man. And that's going to be scary. But nonetheless, I think Michigan State did a good job with the hire. Fickell, I was shocked just like you were. But Fickell did say, and he said it last year when I think he got a new contract or whatever, you know, I want to be in Cincinnati for the next 10 years. And talking about his kids and his family, we know Fick got a bunch of kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Fick got more kids than I can count. It seemed like he always pushing them out.
Uh-huh. Well, he ain't pushing them out, but you know.
Right. Mrs. Fickell.
Right.
I mean, great woman as well. But nonetheless, he said he wanted to be there to have some stability for his family.
Right.
And I get all of that. And I know last year he turned down some head coaching opportunities elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think he was right for doing that because I don't think you leave Cincinnati, a place to where you can have stability, gain you know, the notoriety and make a lot of money to go to some of the places that he had offers from last year. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see if another situation pops up this following season. You say USC or one of those other bigger names pop up. Does Fick, you know, jump on board and say, you know what, I got a boat, Cincinnati, because this situation is too good for me not to.
Well, Cincinnati knows that in the near future, they're going to have to up the pay.
Right.
They're going to have to do something. 100%.
I think it's, what, getting $3 million right now a year?
Yeah.
And that's damn good at Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if he keeps staying, like, I need to be paid like a top 10 coach, you know?
And I'm willing to bet if he's getting $3 million now, I don't know if you can look this up, Colin, look up his coaching, his salary and what he's making, but I'm willing to bet after you turn down a Michigan State opportunity, you got to be going to the AD and saying, hey
now.
You see what they just gave Mel Tucker
right,
over here?
Right. I'm going to need something.
Exactly. But it could be a bonus.
You got to be something in the mix.
An extra meal and a half or something, man.
Hey, it's so crazy, man, because coaching is crazy.
Colin got that salary.
All right, go ahead.
2.4 right now, $2.4 million a year.
Oh, it's probably jumping up 3.5.
Yeah.
I can see it jumping up to that right now.
I think they need to do that before the season starts.
Oh, they got to. They got to. After you turn on that coaching job at Michigan State where you know your salary is going to be double. Yeah.
They have to do something before the season starts.
Without question.
Sure. And he has one of the top recruiting – he's one of the better recruiting classes Cincinnati has ever had.
Winning. They've been looking good.
Yeah. Only game that they took a big loss was against Ohio State.
Right.
Everything else. Did they win the what they in? Oh, they're all right. They did.
No, they didn't win the conference.
Okay.
They lose to Memphis, I believe.
Yeah, they sure did. Yeah. But Memphis is a team that's
they're
pretty
solid,
good.
Man. That's one of the top teams in the conference. Memphis and Cincinnati. But yeah, man, I'm just interested to see how all this affects the recruiting in the state of Ohio. Yeah. And that's one thing.
Another crazy thing is, like, you look at the big picture. I was seeing stories, you know, if Fick would have took the Michigan State job, who is going to be Cincinnati's head coach. Then you got to come back to Ohio State. And they were saying that Kerry could have took the Cincinnati job.
Kerry? That would have been real interesting, watching Kerry Combs just come to Ohio State and say, "That's you know what I'm saying. I got a boat for greener pastures where I'm from,
right.
Area I'm familiar with," which I think Cincinnati probably would have went that direction. Or you could have looked at even more Buckeyes. I just love the Buckeye lineage that we're talking right now on the show with coaching jobs, because you got to look at Marcus Freeman too.
Exactly.
That's a guy that's been in the program, defensive coordinator. The defense has been ultra successful down there. He's young. He's energetic. He can recruit.
Yeah.
And he's Fickell's protege.
Yeah.
And I don't know if – I mean, a lot of y'all probably don't know, but when I talk about – I don't know if I've ever seen a father-son relationship in terms of, you know – you got a coach and a
player, yeah.
That's your son. Right. I don't care what's going on. You recruit him, but that's your goddamn son.
Right.
Like Luke Fickell and Marcus Freeman. Yeah. That is his son. Yeah. I don't care what nobody say. You can go back and talk to Hartline, Laurinaitis. James Laurinaitis, he's in that room.
Yeah.
They will tell you Luke Fickell is Marcus Freeman's father. No disrespect to Marcus Freeman's father. No disrespect whatsoever. But those two.
He the bad man.
No, that relationship, though, is awesome.
No. Anybody, I understand what you're saying.
But the relationship is so awesome to even watch it go beyond, you know, just him coaching him. Like, man, they brought him on and along in his coaching journey.
They have probably spent more time together in the past 10 years than anybody else.
Oh, without question.
Probably more than his own kids.
Without question, man. You know? I love stories like that, too.
Yeah.
I'm joking about it, but I actually love it because, you know, you don't get enough of those type of stories. It's almost like, you hear so much all the time where a coach recruits a guy and that's it. Once he's done playing for him, he can't serve me any purpose anymore. He's not going to win me any games. But to watch a guy like that, and hell, man, I didn't even think about that, bro. That just will make Luke Fickell's recruiting story and his pitch even more magnified when he goes and sits in the living room of these college kids and their parents. And say, hey,
I could have took a big time job, but I want to stick here and stay here.
No, not even that. You see this guy right here sitting in the living room with me? Yeah, that's a guy that I recruited out of high school. Situations didn't go right for him in one career in which he wanted with the football, but you see where he is right now. He's coaching because I believed in him and he believed in me and we believed in each other and we're able to
sticking together.
Bro, maybe I should go and recruit, man. That was a good line right there, man. I believe in him, he believed in me, and we're together.
I'm sure somebody using it already.
No, man, but that's sweet right there, though.
It is dope. I want to transition, though, man.
What we got?
Over the weekend, well, not this weekend, was whenever it was, the XFL started their new league.
Bro.
We seen a lot of Buckeyes. We seen 12-gauge get out there and just destroy the game, you know. Another funny thing, he is so funny, man. Did you see the tweet about him going to the hospital playing the kid? In the video game, and they were saying that he beat the kid. I forgot what the score was, like 79 or something. So he come back and say, "Y'all gonna stop disrespecting me? The score was 98-13 or whatever." Dude, just hilarious, man.
Bro, the biggest personality that I know, man.
But great dude, man. The XFL, I actually enjoyed it. I wanted to kind of get your take on it, but I actually enjoyed it. I seen a lot of guys who. I either played against or played with, and it was cool to see some guys get some opportunity. Obviously, it's not the NFL, but it's another league where guys can show their talent and have an opportunity to get back into the NFL. So I thought it was great, man. It was fun to watch. It was cool.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Spence, you got some?
If you're Cardale, like you guys know Cardale pretty well, and like he's been on the program, and he's very raw when he's on here. Just like he says whatever's on his mind, right?
Right,
and that video game thing was hilarious.
Yeah, like, it was hilarious.
You better respect me because I scored 90 on this kid. Right. It was like some kid in the hospital.
Right.
But if you're Cardale, everybody keeps talking about, well, this is an NFL audition, this is an NFL audition. Why wouldn't you want to be the face of the XFL? Because in the NFL, if you have like three bad games, if you go to the NFL from the XFL and you have like three bad games, your ass is done.
Yeah.
Where if you're in the XFL and you have a bad game, it's like, who are they going to replace you with? Right. Philip Nelson? Because I watched that game with, you know, he's the backup for Dallas.
Yeah.
Without Landry Jones, they scored, what, like 6 points?
Yeah.
Like, if Cardale stays in the XFL and this league is actually successful for 2 years, like Vince says it can be.
I think it would be.
Like, why would you? He's the face of the league.
Yeah.
He is the league.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. And you look at the fact that, you know, the upper echelon quarterbacks, I was reading something, they got an opportunity to make $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that the money is completely different.
Well, $500,000 is great money. I mean,
that's the base in the NFL.
Right.
Whereas, like, this is, like, high-end in at the XFL. But, like, if your revenue continues to come in and the TV
Which
deals,
it is.
The TV keeps saying that it's working because it's not on CBS Sports Network like the AAF was.
Right.
It's on Fox and ESPN and ABC, so people can watch it. Like, if you're the face of that league in the Spring Football League, how do you not stay there rather than go to the NFL? I think it's kind of disrespectful to Cardale and to the league as a whole. People aren't taking it seriously enough when they say, like, oh, he could make this into an NFL gig. No, he can make this into an XFL gig.
I 100% agree. I think it's going to be successful because you have Vince McMahon, who went through the ringer the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He experienced what it was like, okay, to come out and start this new program, right,
mm-hmm.
and to fail. But not only to fail, but I got an opportunity to see what it was like, understand some of the pitfalls that I had. And look, I'm watching the NFL right now take a bunch of shit in which I implemented and put it into their league. They didn't have sky cams. Didn't have all these in-depth interviews or these exciting things going on. It was just straight football. That's it. We're going to interview these guys after the game. We're going to talk about the game. That's it.
They
didn't have behind the scenes going into the locker room. No. That was all Vince McMahon. And now you see even more groundbreaking things in which he's doing. Dude, the in-game interviews are priceless.
Yeah.
You talk about a fan experience.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate fan experience. To where a kicker makes a kick, I can go up to the kicker if I'm a reporter and say, what
the hell happened?
What happened right there to where you made the kick?
Right.
And the guy has to give an uncut, raw interview. It's like, I'm not preparing for this. This is in-game.
Yeah.
People can sit there and say that it's too much, but it's so different from the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get that. There's an opportunity. I believe we will see this. I know the NFL, without question, will take into consideration what we saw in these games in the XFL, and that was when they were reviewing calls. The officials are reviewing calls. There's a microphone in there with the official guys, not just the officials, the people upstairs reviewing the call,
mm-hmm.
and them talking over what they're seeing, what they're going through. That's something that you want to give to the public.
Mm-hmm.
You want the fan to experience that so they can be on the same accord, so we're not sitting here talking about, oh, man, what are they doing to make a decision with this call, as we do on plenty of Sundays in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so groundbreaking, some of the things that we're doing. And then you see the kickoff.
Yeah.
That brings the kickoff back.
Yeah.
That situation, the NFL is going to adopt
mm-hmm.
because the kickoff is an exciting play.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to risk people getting hurt.
I was about to say, it's so dangerous. I mean, obviously, you know, I was a guy that played a lot of special teams, and that was the first thing that I had noticed because
mm-hmm.
I had missed, like, most of the game, but I had caught it when it was doing kickoff, and I was like, I like the way that they do kickoff because it's like you ain't running down there full steam and big collisions and guys getting concussions, getting hurt. It's more short distance. Guy can make a block, and if he can get off the block, he can make the play. If the guy, you know, and then the returner, it's easier for the I'm not going to say it's easier for the returner, but it's just better.
Yeah, can you look up the average salary in the XFL for me? But the fact that you have another league, like you said, a spring league, to where now, I think this thing is going to blow up. I think this thing is going to grow because they got NFL talent on those rosters.
Yeah.
I don't care what nobody say. You can say, oh, this is why you're not. No. They got NFL talent on those XFL rosters. And we all know, as being players, former players in the NFL, it's
hard, man.
No, not even as hard, bro. It's all about the right situation. You get into the right situation, you can succeed. You got that number?
Yeah, they're paying them. So most players, $55,000. And then, like, the elite quarterbacks are $500,000.
Yeah, so you look at that right
that
there, right?
That is crazy, though.
Yeah. You got an opportunity to make some good money, and I believe the salaries will indeed go up as TV contracts go up and as the success of this league goes up. But now it's no longer a situation to where you got guys coming out in college football like, damn, I can't go to the NFL. I don't necessarily want to go to Canada because I want to stay here. All right, let me try the XFL. Guys like, say, a Braxton Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Braxton Miller, him coming to the league, and obviously we know the situation with his shoulder, but him going and saying, you know what, man, I don't want to play a wide receiver. I want to stay a quarterback. All right, mm-hmm. let me take my talent to the XFL, and I got a huge following behind me already.
Yeah.
Let me take that to whatever team I go to in XFL and see what I can do at this level. Mm-hmm. Dude, you got so many more avenues because you got the NFL, you got the XFL, you got the CFL. That alone is going to drive, and it's going to be good for the NFL too, because it's going to drive. We've been talking so much about, you know, the parents of kids saying, you know what, we don't want our kids to play football because from a safety aspect and all the concussion issues and so mm-hmm. on and so forth. But now it's like, all right, you can make a living somewhere else that isn't the NFL.
Right.
It isn't the same amount of money, but it's a living doing something that you love and is good money. You got another avenue. Mm-hmm. So more opportunities here. And I believe this thing will grow into more teams and it'd be just as big. And, you know, like, I don't know, people can't get enough of football.
Right.
They can't get enough of it, bro. I'm sitting here waiting.
It's perfect timing.
Oh, perfect
timing. Perfect timing for it.
We're sitting here waiting like, man, what the hell is next? Like, basketball is great, but basketball is great in the playoffs. It's a long-ass season in the NBA that I don't necessarily want to watch all 82 games until it gets to the tail end to where I'm watching teams fight for, you know, seeding in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's crazy. I seen one of my guys that I had trained with when I was coming out for the NFL Combine. He had played, got drafted, I think, like in third round. He ended up getting hurt, like tore his knee up like two or three times. He hasn't played in the NFL for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. He decided that he wanted to do like a comeback. Came back, you know, did recovery, got in shape, ended up signing with an XFL team. He was balling the other day. I think he had like 4 sacks. And it was like, okay. Now that he's healthy and he's back playing, he's probably going to get an opportunity maybe at the NFL again.
Right.
So
it's going to be some of those guys that do get NFL opportunities.
Yeah. So it's like you said, it's definitely another good take for guys to get another opportunity to play. You know.
But if you can be a star in this league, I like it, man. A lot of chances. Man. Yeah. You know they're going to put all eyes on you. Yeah. I mean, we just go back to He Hate Me.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know his real name. And right. I'm glad at this point they're not doing all of that. You know, now I'm glad they're putting real names. But think about the level of exposure that those guys had. And you know, that was, what, 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe 20 years ago.
I was about to say, might have been 20.
And I'm still remembering He Hate Me. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? So,
because everybody knew that name. It was big as hell on the back of the jersey, too. But he was a good baller, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was more so he was good
yeah.
in the way that they were marketing it.
They were taking their helmets off and everything, bro. It was crazy.
This league is – I like it because how long ago was it you got there?
19 years ago, 2001.
19 years ago. But I like it because I like Vince McMahon as a businessman. You look at what he's done with the WWE and then what's the AEW. I know they try to, you know, make it a different league, but I'm sure he has his hand in that pot drastically.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I like it. I like what direction is going in, and I'm excited to see – what Cardell continues to do.
I mean, he's
like Spence said, he's been the face of this thing for the next 10 years, and it'll be beautiful.
I mean, he has the great personality for what's going on right now,
right.
I'm telling you. And I think he's going to do some great things. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, man, I want to talk about some of these quarterbacks in the NFL, man.
Yeah,
we got some big-time quarterbacks who may be hanging it up, maybe getting another shot at a different uniform after 16 years, you know. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's a lot shaking up right now, man. Yeah,
we've never been in a space in the NFL to where we've had question marks, this many question marks, with the quarterback stars of the league, mm-hmm. right? And those quarterbacks being Drew Brees, there's a question mark on what's he going to do with his future. Is he gonna hang it up? Is he going to retire? I know, you know, the New Orleans Saints would love to keep him down there because he's been phenomenal. But is he going to retire? Then you look at Tom Brady, him being a free agent. And I know everybody was in a frenzy with the commercial that came out, the Hulu commercial, and everybody thought that was a sign that, you know, he was leaving New England. But is he going to leave New England? Right. He is testing free agency. What's that going to look like? Then you got the situation that just came down a couple of days ago, Philip Rivers and the Chargers agreeing to part ways. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that we've been in a space in the league to where we've had that many question marks with the stars, and those guys have been stars, like we said, for 10 plus years. And I don't care what anybody says about Phillip Rivers. I saw this on ESPN the other day. I'm agreeing with Greeny. I personally think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. I think when you look at his numbers and you look at what he's been able to do, they've been phenomenal. Yeah, he hasn't been able to win, and the playoff success hasn't been there. But in terms of pure good-ass quarterback, that's been Phillip Rivers. And I know there's a lot more that goes into it. And we put a lot of onus on the quarterbacks in terms of you know, winning championships and what they're able to do. But when you look at his numbers, they're there.
I mean, you got to look at it this way. Obviously, the guy has played 16 years. And not just been on the team. He started.
Right.
You know.
I mean, it was what, 3 overall pick or something like that.
Yeah. So this is a guy. Now, it's crazy because I feel like, to an extent, a guy that plays 15 years, you should automatically almost be in the Hall of Fame, especially if you start, man. Because it's like, dude.
Nah, I ain't saying that.
Not completely saying that, but you can think about, like, bro, he's been a starter for 16 years. You know what I'm saying? He's been to the playoffs. He's been to the Pro Bowls. He's been – only thing he ain't done is won a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, obviously, he's going to play – he wants to keep playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's another guy that has a ton of kids.
He does. Somebody going to give him an opportunity, I believe.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know what's crazy? When you look at Phillip Rivers and you look at Eli Manning, mm-hmm. Eli Manning decided to retire, right? If that shit never transpires in New York, where Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning's drafted and said, you know what, I'm not going to San Diego, and you got Phillip Rivers in New York, I think New York wins more championships than they already won.
Yeah.
I really do, because I think Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback. I don't know many people that would disagree that Phillip Rivers isn't a better quarterback than Eli Manning. I agree wholeheartedly that he is, and I think the New York – Giants would have been much further along and more consistent with Phillip Rivers than Eli Manning, because we haven't seen that teeter-tot and that dip in play with Phillip Rivers as we've seen with Eli. And then, hell, the weapons that he's had hasn't been anything close. I'm sorry, I'm spitting all over the place. Hasn't been anything close to what what Eli had in New York.
You're right.
What's your thought on that? I mean, you think who would you rather take? Yeah, Eli won 2 Super Bowls. But.
Yeah, but at the same time, Eli had weapons, bro.
He did.
He had some weapons.
He had a young, fresh Plax. Well, I wouldn't say young, fresh. When Plax left Pittsburgh, but he was still young, yeah.
Man, he had tight, shocky.
Oh, yeah.
Running backs.
Bro, running backs galore.
Man. So he had everything that he
everything
needed.
That you would want, and good defense.
They had
the OC Vanure. You got Michael Strahan, Tuck.
Man.
I mean, he had so many weapons on both sides of the ball.
So if you put Phil over there, you got a good argument. He may have won more than
Eli. Man.
Yeah. So I don't know, man, but. It's just going to be funny to see, like, where he lands, though, because it's like –
what spot fits for him.
Yeah, what's a good fit for him? Because you got so many young guys who have taken over. I mean, you got the Russell Wilsons. You got the name some of these quarterbacks, man. You got
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Deshaun Watson. I mean, you got a bunch of young guys that are taking over this league. We can't forget about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, reigning Super Bowl MVP. But if I'm – Phillip Rivers, and if I'm the Miami Dolphins, you know what I'm doing? This draft, I'm going taking Tua. Tua's banged up with a hip injury.
And they say he's healing the best that you could ever heal.
All right, so I'm taking Tua. Tua, come here.
Learn
sit
from
you down.
OG. Yeah.
You're going to sit you down behind Phillip Rivers. Phillip, come here. You got 1 or 2 more years left in you. Come, take us to the playoffs. Make us look good. But while doing so, groom my young guy. And we had Cardale Jones on the podcast a couple of times. Cardale is enamored and has the utmost respect for Phillip Rivers in the way that he prepares. And he talked about how much of a leader he was and how much better he made him in terms of analyzing and looking at the game. That's the guy I want if I'm the Miami Dolphins. Hey, I go look at him real quick and I say, all right, what can you do for us?
You could be a GM.
I mean, even if you don't want him at the Dolphins, you go and look at, okay, the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm still taking my quarterback number one, but I got this veteran guy that I can bring this young guy in, whether he's number one or what, and I can kind of allow him to be groomed. Like, that's the ultimate situation. I get a young quarterback, I'm drafting him in the first round, and I get a future Hall of Famer to bring him in. That's still good, by the way. We ain't talking about Phillip Rivers being chopped liver.
Yeah.
He's still in the top 20 quarterbacks in the league. So he can groom whoever I get, I'll do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. And then you look at other situations too. I mean, you look at the same deal with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
What's that situation going to look like? Where is he going to go? I personally don't see him going anywhere other than New England. Just because it's been such a match made in heaven, but
be going to San Diego.
San Diego, he's a California guy. So what would that look like? I mean, not San Diego, it's in L.A. now. So
LA,
he lives in L.A. Yeah. But you hear talk about the Dallas Cowboys and them potentially
that won't happen
making a trade and somehow or another Dak Prescott landed in New England. That would be the worst thing for Dallas because Dak Prescott would go to New England and win a bunch of Super Bowls and the dynasty will continue for the New England Patriots. Yeah. That, I pray, doesn't happen because I don't want to continue to see that right there.
Right. Yeah.
But agree with you. I mean, there's so many situations with quarterbacks in the league and it's just wild, man. It's wild because I never thought – I knew at some point we'd get to this space, but – I've been a football fan playing and watching for so long. And since I've really been zoned in, these have been the guys. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, a bunch of those guys. And now we're watching them kind of be at the back end, and some of them have already transitioned out.
TV. They're going to TV. They just retired.
It's wild, man. It lets you know you're getting old.
Yeah.
We're getting old.
I seen something. I don't know where they were golfing at, but I seen something where all these – older quarterbacks was golfing all together.
Right, Marino was in that bunch. Yeah. Peyton was in that bunch.
I don't know where they was at, but it looked like a good-ass time.
Brett Favre. I remember Peyton come. I remember watching the interview, and Peyton come out saying, man, I got to play golf with some of my favorite quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, yeah man, it's wild, man.
It's pretty cool.
Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer to you guys? I gotta get some vocals. Colin, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? I know you're a young buck, but is Eli a Hall of Famer to you?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so.
Spence, are you saying Eli's a hauler?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I got Beans. You heard what I just said. Eli's a guy that played with 16 years. And you give a guy 16 years and start
two Super Bowls
and two Super Bowls.
All right. I'm gonna make Eli's Hall of Fame case for you. Top 10 passing yards all time. I don't care what era you play in. Hall of Fame.
Where's he at in his top 10 interceptions too?
Yeah, okay. Then I'll give you more. I'll go more.
Phil right up there with him, though.
Two Super Bowls.
Right.
Against the greatest dynasty of all time. Mm-hmm. That can't be discounted. His only two Super Bowls came against the greatest quarterback of all time. And I get that like they only scored 17 points and 21 in each of the games, and like the defense was insane. But like, it doesn't matter. Those are two Super Bowls. Like, Terry Bradshaw has four, and he was never – the best thing about that team.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, too, when you look at back in those days.
Oh, yeah, but if you, like, look at it,
right?
Eli's the exact same way. I think Eli is kind of like a Terry Bradshaw, except he's got more passing yards.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
Oh, by the way, if his coach wasn't a dumbass and benched him for one game, he would have the all-time lead for most consecutive games played, and he's a quarterback. Mm. Like, I know that they get protected.
I mean, I get it there,
I know they get protected more, but, like, he's an Iron Man.
Mm. Yeah, he is, but...
And if you want to talk about football... The game of football since 2000, you have to talk about Tom Brady and Eli Manning. Because the only guy to be able to consistently beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl is Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. You cannot talk about football in the 21st century.
You make a good case and all that, but like
give him his jacket.
He's going to get that jacket.
I just think, man, that the awful years in my mind are so at the forefront more so than the Super Bowl years. I mean, because you look at Eli, and it's New York, because that's a team we talk about all the time, right? He's Peyton Manning's little brother. So he's going to get a lot of eyes on him. It's like, come on, like, bro, what are you doing?
I was just about to say, another thing you got to look at, his last name is Manning.
Hey, you know who Eli had to pass to get to the all-time interceptions lead?
His brother?
No.
Philip? Brett Favre.
Is Brett Favre a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
Brett Favre was a monster, though, man. Come on. Like you, Brett, that's not even the comparison between
But your
those
argument
two.
Against me was the interception.
That wasn't the entire argument, but
boom.
Come.
You like, heard
Brett
it.
Favre is a different
you heard
animal.
It, boom.
Hey, Brett Favre had his own jeans in Walmart.
Exactly. what do you got there? What stat you got for us, Colin, right there?
If I'm reading this correctly, it looks like Eli's only 12th in career interceptions.
Only 12th?
Yeah, he's behind Peyton and Brett. And Marino.
I don't know. Maybe it's total turnovers or something. I don't know, man. I don't know. Moving along, man. Talking about more in the league and those quarterbacks, man. But it's just going to be so crazy that we've come to a point and those guys are gone and we're ushering in a new regime and a new time of new quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, it's beautiful. All those guys are great. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson has been here. Dak Prescott, I don't care what anybody says, Dak Prescott is a damn good quarterback. So I don't care what anybody says and how they try to portray him. It's a lot of great young quarterbacks in this league, and I think the league is in good hands, as it always has been and as it always will be. You know, guys retire, new guys come in, and you know, gain that star power. But I know you've seen our boy, Myles Garrett, get reinstated.
Yeah,
I was happy about that.
Yeah, Spence sits here
and tries to say that
he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
He should have been suspended much longer. Spence, you're a Pittsburgh fan, so we can't take what you say seriously when we're talking about somebody from the Browns. We're not going to do it.
He apologized. He did his
time. Let the man back and play. Don't try to keep him out in any more games. You want him to be suspended for half the season coming into the 2020.
No. He don't want to play no more at all.
Exactly. Let him be, please, man. Let my Browns
I gotta defend
something.
Myself. What I said was, if this happened in any game before game 10, they still would have suspended him for the entire season. So I think it's unfair to say it's suspended indefinitely when everyone just knew it was six games. They should have just gave him a set amount of games. If it was six games, I would have been fine with it. But to say indefinitely, no bullshit. You just suspend him for the rest of the season. So all I said was give him either four games, six games, eight games, 10 games. I don't care what it was. Put a number on it so that way you don't have to say, well, the season's over. It's a new year. Let's reinstate it.
So
it should have been either six games or eight games.
If you cut Spence right now, I'm almost positive yellow is probably going to come out his arm. And if you bust his nose, it'll be black. So,
do you get where I'm coming from?
I get where you're coming from. I do. But
you're a Steelers fan.
Any other week of the season before week 10, they would have given him a set number.
No, they would have.
And I think it's wrong because now if a guy does that in week 14 in 3 years, how do you justify saying you're suspended eight games because all you did for him was six games, but you actually said it was the rest of the season,
Spence, perfect timing. How about that?
No, but I think –
yeah, exactly. It was perfect. And I just don't agree with the NFL's philosophy of like
– well, it doesn't matter.
It's like, well, you're suspended for the rest of the season, so that sounds better than a set amount of games. No, it doesn't, because if you think that another guy does something just as bad and it's in week two – and you say, oh, he suspended eight games, people are going to be like, well, why wasn't it for the rest of the season?
But I think you got to judge one on – people always sit here and say, you know, the punishment should be standard across the board, which in most cases I do agree with that. But in this situation, it was a melee on the football field. There were a bunch of guys involved in the situation. Yes, Myles Garrett did the more egregious act with taking off his helmet or just swinging a helmet and hitting a guy in the head. But I don't think that's him. And I think when you sit with Roger Goodell and you understand him as a person – Myles Garrett, you know that, all right, this isn't one of those trouble guys. This was a situation to where anybody in their right mind could have lost your cool because, like I said, there's a melee. There's a bunch going on. You got a bunch of guys with a bunch of testosterone. He made a bad decision, a bad mistake. We suspend him for a different amount. We bring him in. We talk about it. We make sure this guy does everything he has to do off the field. You prove to me that you're going to be more productive and you're going to be more mindful and the things that you do off and on a football field. And then, all right, I agree.
I actually agree with six games. I think six games was perfect.
So why are you complaining so much?
My big deal is, like, if it was week 9
right,
and they gave him six games, they would have just said, well, we might as well suspend him the rest of the season. Then it would have been seven games. So they should have just put a number on it. So that way people actually knew,
but I think it was so new,
what it was.
We haven't seen anything like
does
this.
Does that make sense?
No, I get it. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to defend myself.
Right.
We're just giving you a hard time because you're a Steelers fan.
Right. But I get that 100%. But I think it was so new and we hadn't seen anything like it transpire in the league that they didn't probably know how to handle it. There's going to be situations that you don't know how to handle. The Ray Rice situation, the league was shook, had no idea how to handle it. And then you go back and you look at how they handled the Greg Hardy deal. And a lot of people's mind, that situation was botched. So, you know, I kind of get and sympathize with the league in this situation, especially when you look at the character of a guy. And I don't believe Myles Garrett is one of those malicious individuals, just mean
it was a hostile,
and nasty dude. Yeah. It was, like you said, a hostile environment.
Yeah.
Some shit happened. It went down. Yeah. And he lost his cool.
He apologized and everything.
Yeah,
so.
It happens. Fortunately enough, you know, nothing happened to Mason Rudolph worse than, you know, him getting a knot on his head. But
man. He lost a lot of money.
Yeah, no, he definitely did.
And nobody, I mean, some people got hurt, but they didn't get seriously hurt.
And he'll make it up, though. He's Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is one of those guys that's going to be a staple in the league for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
But, Spence, you might want to hop back on this, man, real quick. There was an apology made
by your guy,
Antonio Brown, to Big Ben Roethlisberger, and him saying, but him saying, you know what? I never realized how good I had it, Ben. I'm sorry. You know, things were great. You know, I had to be on the outside looking in to appreciate you, and now I appreciate you. So, with that being said, with that apology.
So before you got here, we talked about this a little bit. Right. I said, Spence, so if AB, y'all had the opportunity right now to sign Antonio
Brown. That's what I was going to ask him, after the apology and all that. All
right, hey.
So give it.
No, all right. You guys ready for this? You ready for this? Okay. You guys were really good football players in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And with good football players, certain people want to be around good football players.
Right.
You were a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
How many people contacted you once they realized, oh, he good at football at Ohio State, that weren't really talking to you in high school? And then how many people started talking to you again when you were a first-round pick?
A lot of people.
So Antonio Brown has this insane fall from grace. He's this monster to the media and everything. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to get back in the league. You were right.
But
I was wrong.
Antonio Brown. And he's still good as hell.
Okay. So, like, I can't make this analogy. On there. You know what I'm trying to say.
Right,
all kinds of people coming at you like, right. I'm sorry. I should have hung out with you more.
Because you want something.
Because you need something. You need back in this league.
Right.
And so, like, and who are you going to go to? You're not going to go and say, like, I'm sorry, Mike Mayock, because he's just kind of like a GM.
Right.
You're going to say, I'm sorry, Ben. You're one of the biggest names in the league. I'm sorry. You're seeing how sorry I am. And, like, I've been on board to saying Antonio Brown has issues that he shouldn't play football again because I think his brain can't take it anymore. I think there's a CTE element to him.
Mm-hmm.
I truly do. And I didn't play like you guys did. But, like, the hit with Vontaze Burfict in the playoff game, before that hit, he was a good teammate, and he had the chest up, eyes up, prayers up foundation that he ran, and he was good in the community. And after that, he began to talk bad about Roethlisberger, and he pulled Le'Veon Bell toward talking bad about Roethlisberger, and it kind of tore the offense apart and the entire organization apart, really, because there was two sides.
Right.
And like, I think that hit had a lot to do with it. I don't think he should play football again, because I just think mentally he should look at his future. But if he's going to try and apologize, Ben Roethlisberger is the perfect place to start.
Right. With that being said, you don't believe he should play football again if he is back reinstated and, you know, teams want to sign him. If you're Pittsburgh, would you still say?
No. So, because, like,
you don't believe that. You don't,
like,
believe it'd be beneficial.
The GM, Kevin Colbert, there's an old saying with the Steelers, and you guys probably heard it when you were playing and stuff. You either want to get paid or you want to be a Steeler. Like, there's that saying in Pittsburgh, like, there's the Steelers mentality. James Ferrier signed for less. Larry Foote signed for less back in when they were winning Super Bowls.
Right, but they also set precedent too.
But
like
with
we
guys.
And like we don't. And then they started to hand out money to guys, and then all of a sudden they had a couple divas on the team,
right.
And they're like, but I think they kind of learned their lesson a little. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that again. The guys they pay now are like Cam Hayward, and when they paid Ben, like, Ben kind of got his act together after he was a dick for so many years. And they're like, okay, now we'll pay him again. Like,
Ben was still a dick for last.
Yeah. They're not going to start trying to sign these kind of guys again. I think they learned their lesson. And this GM, they just re-signed him, and he's not about even making any sort of amends.
I like Kevin Colbert. I think he's a phenomenal
He's a
GM.
Savvy guy. And he's not going to mess with
talent.
He's not going to mess with AB.
Yeah, and it probably wouldn't, because they don't want that culture back in their locker room. I mean,
but the story would be so good
be
if
amazing.
AB really got his stuff together, went back to Pittsburgh, did his thing, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl.
And I wonder how true it was last year when you talked about – when you heard rumors that the Pittsburgh Steelers were thinking about trading for Le'Veon Bell. That would have been beautiful too, man, to watch him go back there. I really wonder too, man.
I heard he's getting traded though.
Le'Veon?
I just heard that the other day.
Oh, man, I think he's going to go to waste in New York. I absolutely believe that. I think he'll go to waste in New York. Maybe New York is one of those places that'll try to get Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers, because the quarterback they have now is not getting it done. I don't think he will. He's seeing ghosts.
Man.
But is that a wrap on the show, man? We got any more we need to hit on? We hit on a lot today, man. We gave you a lot of info, a lot of our insight.
More so insight for next week, man.
But, you know, but we'll come back next week. We'll chop it up, and we'll be a little late next week. We'll probably come in on a Friday next week, because that's when we'll be getting back from the Buckeye Cruise. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate you guys listening. We are back And we will get back. We will indeed get back to having regular guests. And when we're on a Buckeye cruise, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to, you know, get some few hits and snippets from people to bring back on the show this year, man. So appreciate it. Thanks a lot. It's a wrap.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.